It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
A nation thirsting for fresh and grand initiatives? Do you still remember the 1980s? When Japan was at the peak of its engineering and technical prowess. When an entire cottage industry was built on predictions that the 20th century would close with Japan as the world's biggest economy and home to most if not all the cutting-edge technological and engineering patents. With the likes of Sony and Toyota seamlessly emerging as the most coveted global brands? Even literature, with books like Rising Sun by Michael Crichton, was in sync with the overall geopolitical tensions brought about by U.S.-Japan economic rivalry in the 1980s. Non-fiction books also stated with certainty the coming ascendancy of Japan and the diminished status of the U.S.-led old powers before the end of the 20th century. David Halberstam's The Reckoning, about the rise of the Japanese car industry, was part of that genre. The rise of Japan to unmatched greatness did not come to pass, as we all know by now. Somewhere along the way, Japan stumbled. Instead of taking a straight path to becoming the greatest and mightiest country on earth, it entered its so-called lost decade, and a certain stasis aborted what was supposed to be an unstoppable rise to an unscalable economic and engineering peak. While it remains the world's third biggest economy, it is way below the leaders, the United States and China, in economic might. When the word innovation is spoken of in conferences today, the reference point is no longer Japan. But Japan is far from sulking and nursing its wounds. Or living in the past. Last February, with the help of global chip powerhouse Taiwan Manufacturing and Semiconductor Company, TSMC, a modern chip fabricator popularly known as Fab, started operations on the island of Kikuyo, in Japan's southwestern part. The Fab started building much-needed chips for Toyota and the other Japanese car giants and industrial behemoths such as Sony and Denso. Not only that. Near the site of the first chip Fab, the first ever built by TSMC outside Taiwan since 2018, another close to $5 billion Fab is under construction, with generous support from the Japanese government and its major private sector players. The former grazing and farming areas of Kikuyo have been transformed overnight into mini Taiwanese enclaves, with the mad rush to house engineers and technicians brought over to Kikuyo from Taiwan to help build the second fab and help operate the first one that began operations 2 months ago. What was unthinkable just decades ago, once mighty Japan turning to tiny Taiwan for help, is now taking place in southwestern Japan. If you can't build chip fabs right now, what is the next best thing to undertake, which, in a sense, is more critical than building the actual physical fabs for chip making? Easy. Develop a reputation as an enclave of innovation teeming with engineering and technical talent. That way, the global tech giants will come to your area and ask you to do the most critical task in relation to chips, chip design. Bangalore, in India, which is host to a massive pool of engineering talent, was recently chosen by AMD, the global chip giant, as the site for its giant, multi-billion-dollar chip design center, said to be the biggest chip design center in the world. This is a singular achievement for Bengaluru because chip design, right now, is only done in the US, Taiwan, China and a few European sites. You can build chip fabs in countries with real resources. But you can only build chip design centers in areas where there are deep pools of world-class engineering and technology talents. Bengaluru is also host to sophisticated global capability centers that do artificial intelligence, AI, cybersecurity, automation and other hardcore engineering work for the US-based technology giants and for firms on the Standard & Poor's, S&P, 500. There is no comparison between the hardcore tech work being done there by their global capability centers and the voice and tech support work of our BPOs. The difference is between night and day. What are the teachable lessons from these overseas initiatives to seek other pathways to economic competitiveness? To find new strategies to grow economically and shift to innovative paradigms that would make their countries or cities true global players in today's knowledge economy? To write new and fresh narratives on how to achieve growth and development? The most obvious lesson is that the old world is gone, and this means that the neoliberal formula of opening up the economy to the world through a slew of liberalization, deregulation and privatization policies no longer works. Even carrying out the extreme version of that, like gutting the constitution of a country to get rid of a few restrictive economic provisions, is no longer an incentive to global investors. The old formulas that transformed former Asian paddy fields into industrial and assembly sites via the old norms of the Washington Consensus no longer hold. Bengaluru attracts critical, high-value foreign investments because of one coveted asset, its massive pool of technology and engineering talent supported by an educational system that built the feeder schools for Silicon Valley. It built its future on the back of engineering talents, and the effort paid off hugely. Capital is attracted by talent, not by a country with a learning poverty rate of 91%. Japan is in a fab-building frenzy with Taiwan's help because geopolitical tensions and the current need to reconfigure supply chains make it imperative for Japan to build its own chips for Toyota, Denso, Sony and the like. With the help of an unlikely partner, Taiwan, which seemed to be impossible in an earlier era because of historical tensions between the two, it did not think twice about importing foreign talent and technology despite its former status as the global leader in innovative engineering and technology. Rules are being rewritten. The paradigms of an earlier era are being massively upended. And yet, here we are, obsessing over constitutional change. And opening up and liberalizing, like it were the 1980s. Like it was Augusto Pinochet writing Chile's development path with the doyens of the University of Chicago's Economics Department. It is time for our leaders to look at how the broader world is changing and adapt. Then, set aside the old, discredited, neoliberal path to development. Filipinos, by and large, deserve policies and initiatives that are grand, fresh, and inspiring.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.